Well, we're continuing on in sort of our experiment with this idea of sort of a conversational exposition in depth of these chapters in Exodus chapters 21, 22, and 23. Right now we're coming up to chapter 22, and we just want to remember that what we're talking about are these general principles for judges, sort of a case law, to give them principles by which they would guide and govern the things that came to them in ancient Israel. So let's talk about these first four verses of Exodus chapter 22.
It says this: if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He should make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it is an ox or a donkey or sheep, he shall restore double.
Hmm. All right, so what we're dealing with are laws having to do with theft and the punishment for theft. And the first thing is sort of dealing with the idea of verse 1, if a man steals an ox or sheep. Now, don't you find this kind of, wouldn't you kind of stand back and say, didn't they deal with this in the Ten Commandments? Hmm. But if you notice, the Ten Commandments told you, don't steal. But it didn't really detail what should be done in the event that somebody does steal. Mm. What kind of restitution? I mean, what do you just kill these guys for stealing? No, that's not just, but what is just? Well, one measurement there, if you notice there in verse 1, it speaks about, you got to determine a little bit some intent. And verse 1 says, if a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters or sells it, he shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. In other words, that was a more strenuous penalty, 5-1, because slaughtering or selling it proved intent. I mean, you were just intent from the, there's no accident, there's no slip. Right. Well, the ox just wandered after me or something like that. Mm-hmm. It really shows a greater intent to steal. But the bottom line there, verse 1 says, he shall restore.
Yeah.
That's really the idea here.
Interesting, the idea is a restitution.
Right.
Not just something about, okay, he did it, throw him in jail, get rid of him. No, you've done something wrong. Let's restore the situation. There needs to be some restitution that needs to take place.
You know, there's been a lot of thought in our current day. A lot of this has been introduced by Chuck Colson. Does that name ring a bell with you guys?
Is it prison ministry, right?
That's right, prison ministry. You know, he went to prison because of his connection with the Watergate scandal.
Yeah.
And having been in prison, he had a lot of ideas for prison reform from a Christian perspective. And I've always been impressed by Colson's treatment. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But he kind of really advanced the idea that just too many people are incarcerated. And actually, in principle, the Bible gives us a better way here. In principle, the Bible tells us that what is needed for the thief to do is not lock him up, but give him the opportunity to make restitution.
Yeah, make it right.
And that's much more of an incentive not to do the stealing.
Yes.
If it was me, and my requirement or the punishment that I had, if I stole, was to restore what I had stolen, and it says here fivefold or even twofold.
Yeah,
it can kind of vary
right,
depending on what it does.
But whatever. I mean, but at least double.
With some interest.
Yes.
Man, that's much more of an incentive for me not to do it. Rather than just, okay, well, I'm just going to be locked up, no big deal.
And get 3 square meals a day, maybe get a little bit of buffer in the gym. And
get my
high school degree at the same time.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, it's interesting to me, though, that it has different kind of degrees in which they pay back. It says here, if you steal one, five oxen for an ox, four
five
sheep.
5-1.
5-1.
4-1.
And then it also says, I think it's in
verse four, yeah.
It says that it's 2-1.
He shall restore double.
Right. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, I mean, what's the reason behind the 5-1?
Well,
some of it
had to do with intent discerning, and this is the kind of thing that the judge would have to determine. Mm-hmm. Had to determine something from intent, but also there was greater severity of what a person would steal. For example, a sheep and an ox were both valuable. But the ox was more valuable because you did productive labor with the ox. Mm. It's kind of like the difference between stealing somebody's tractor and stealing some money that they have. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, both are theft and both have to be addressed, but one can be even more serious than the other. And that's why they sort of give a gradation of punishments and restitution.
Interesting.
But, you know, again, we got to emphasize, this is a positive approach to when somebody sins, when somebody steals, to restore it. Now, I'll never forget when I was a young believer and just, you know, beautiful young community of people in Ventura, actually, teaching Bible studies and such. And some young women from an ice cream store started getting saved and becoming part of our group. And they used to filch money from the till all the time. So their boss was very surprised when all of a sudden money starts throwing up extra in the till, you know, because they were convicted of the Lord and thought, I'm going to repay, I'm going to make a payment back. Mm. That really sort of fulfills. This is a great thing. It's a positive approach. Mm. I'm going to repay.
Yeah. I mean, the principle in general, restitution, we need to see more of that in our Christian life, wouldn't you say? I mean, the idea
absolutely.
Of just that, yeah.
Well, what do we tend to substitute for restitution today?
Feelings, emotions. You know, I really feel bad about the situation, you know, and my remorse is good enough.
Right. Why don't you go set it right somewhere?
Right.
Okay, like here's a great example. We'll take the principle of restitution and apply it broader than theft. Yeah. You know, let's say you're gossiping about somebody or spreading bad stories about them. Even if they're true, they're bad stories meant to make that person look bad behind their back. Well, I feel bad about it, but what should you do in response? Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you go out and talk to those people that you said the story to? I'm sorry, I did wrong. I shouldn't have said those things.
And it's really, it really shows the heart behind the person if they're willing to go out and make a restitution for what they've done wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, if someone were to, if they were to gossip and then go back and talk to them and apologize, it shows a repentant heart.
That's right.
You know, it doesn't lead just to sorrow and being sorry about the gossip that they're saying, but the repentance is actually doing something about it.
Right. God helping me, I'm going to set it right. Mm-hmm. Okay, one other thing, or a couple other things. First of all, verse 5, notice that it says here, he shall make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Now, doesn't this show us one of the ways that people would come into servitude in ancient Israel?
Interesting.
You know, not, you know, kidnapping or man-stealing. You could say, in a sense, it was voluntary. Not that the guy wanted to be sold and enslaved, but, I mean, look, it was his own bed that he made. He stole, he spent the money, he couldn't pay the restitution. Fine, you're going to be a servant, a slave to that guy or one of his relatives for some period of time.
What about, it says there in verse 2, if the thief is found breaking in, that was kind of an interesting part about it. It's like
that's the other angle of this. Yeah,
caught in the act. What does he do?
Well, there it says that if the homeowner, if he is struck so that he dies, there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If it happens at night, then what's the converse of that?
If it happened in the daytime,
when the sun had risen on him. There shall be guilt for his bloodshed.
Yeah, interesting.
Now, again, we understand these are laying out principles for the judges. But what the principles are telling the judges of Israel is that, first of all, every man has a right to defend his home, to defend his property. That's for sure. But you don't have the right to do anything in order to defend your property. And to kill a man for stealing something in broad daylight, when, you know, the idea between daylight and nighttime is that, you know, the circumstances are more clear and it's more understandable and the threat is more accurately discerned and evaluated and all the rest of it. The situation is much more clear in the daytime, where it might be much more hidden at night. Well, then you understand what's going on. At night, it was justifiable to kill, if you had to, in defense of your property. In the daytime, no.
That's interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
That's interesting.
But again, you see the wisdom of God's word, right? Judges, you know, intelligently apply these principles and that it respects the principle of private property. I mean, that's sort of been said here, but it is. It's a respecting of the principle of private property and an emphasis on the principle of restitution.